Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time. Wait, that's not how I do it. How do I do it? I'm doing the podcast.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Well, I was going to go, it's time for another wonderful episode of Bill Burr. No. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's time for another wonderful episode. There it is, of the Bill
Burr
Podcast. There we go. Forgot how I did the intro, Burr. It's been such a long time here. How you been?
I've been good, man. I've been stressed. This COVID shit's got me stressed. I've taken...
Vaccine's coming next month. You start walking around like this. You're lethargic. You don't care what the government's doing to you.
Yeah.
By the way, get a cold again. I mean, I'm at the point
where I'm going to take it without it. No questions asked. I'm going to take it. Every doctor I know has taken it. Or so they say. Our cardiologist took it, and he told me, he goes, why wouldn't you take it? I'm a fucking doctor. He goes, dude, what was the analogy he used? It was an analogy on something, maybe cooking steaks. And he was like, if he said cook it on medium high for 7 minutes, you'd do it, right? And I was like, yeah. He was like, I'm a fucking doctor. I took the fucking vaccine. So
I feel so bad for them. It'd be like, I don't know. I'm trying to equate it to our business. It's the most unfunny people. Because I look at doctors, like they're some of the smartest people. And then you have some of the dumbest people ever questioning, you know, or saying that I know it better. It would be like somebody who just was never funny ever in their life saying that, I guess, I don't know, you weren't funny. That's a bad analogy.
No, it's...
And you know what, Bert? During the holidays, I would have thought you would have jumped in and saved me there, but you didn't. You just let me die in the vine on that.
Let me start this because people construe things bad. I love Godfrey, but I watch his Instagram stories all the time, right? Or his videos. So yesterday, I'm laying in bed, panic attacks, and I see Godfrey. I go, Godfrey, someone who can calm me down, right? He didn't calm me down in the way I thought. I thought he'd calm me down with comedy, but very seriously, someone goes, he's reading comments. He's like, do I believe the moon landing was rigged? He goes, yeah, I don't believe in the moon landing. And he just kept reading, and I started laughing so hard. I was like, you know how your brain, it's like my brain got so separated from what I was thinking about where I was like, hold on, Godfrey's, both of his parents are two of the most educated human beings in Chicago. Godfrey grew up in a household where books were worshipped. And then I started going, do I need to do some research on this fucking moon landing? Like, do I need to go, like, where's my head at?
Dude, the internet is not research. The internet is not, going to the library is research. The internet is not research because there's no governor on it. Anybody can post anything as fact.
Yeah. Oh, I watched a video, 10 Reasons Mississippi is the Worst State in the World. and I started watching it. And it was just, and by the way, you start watching it and you're like, this all adds up. They're like, Mississippi has the fattest human beings living in our country. Mississippi's education system is the low, and there is no footnote to back up this fact that it's a child saying it. A child saying it who's got a grudge. Some girl from Mississippi broke his fucking heart.
Or he's an Alabama guy. Georgia shits on Alabama. Alabama shits on Mississippi. Mississippi is the North's fault.
Why is that?
Because we won the war and we fucked over the South.
Yeah.
We fucked them and they're still recovering. Dude, we moved down there. We moved to North Carolina in 1987. My dad got transferred because of business. And we went down there. We were all like C's and D's. And we immediately all became A's and B's. They were like 18 months to 2 years behind in school. It's not right. Those are Americans. We shouldn't have left them like that.
You walked up and there's a group around the front of the room by the chalkboard. And you're like, what are you guys working on? They're like, how do we get this pencil sharpener to get it so sharp? We're talking like a stick sharp. And Bill just goes, you mean like this? They're like, oh, shit.
You're Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting in the South if you just did that. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it was like literally, you know, instead of doing algebra, they were like adding fractions. It wasn't like years behind, but it was significantly, It was like you stayed back a grade, but you went there and you had progressed a year. It was weird.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Now, granted, this was, you know, 33 years ago. So hopefully it's come back around. But like, I like how, like, when they shit on state impoverished states, they act like they made the decision to be that way.
I'm watching this video yesterday and I realized I've never really been to Mississippi. Like, I've never been to Mississippi.
I've been there, man.
I've driven through it on my way to New Orleans,
it's got its own vibe, like any state. It's that weird thing where if you drive into Alabama, you wouldn't know it unless there was a sign, but you get out and you talk to people. There's definitely a different vibe. Like if it was the Three Bears, the porridge would be too hot when you were in Georgia. And it'd be too cold in Mississippi. And I think Alabama's just right.
I always thought going to college in Mississippi would have been amazing.
Going to college, if you're a sports fan, or you were in Florida, man. Florida is the South. You guys just for some reason are like this appendix hanging off of the country, and they just don't like when I think it's because it's also like Miami, which is considered like, you know, it's one of our best cities. Best looking women, all this money, all this beautiful stuff to do down there. So they got that. So everybody, all these people, they kind of fly over Gainesville and all of that. Or you just go to Orlando with your family, go to SeaWorld. Like, I feel like Florida's kind of like a one night stand, like state, you know, some hot chick you bang, but you don't get into a relationship. You know, you go down to Miami, you do a little blow. You know, you call up a modeling agency, you throw some dollars around, you know, you meet that Epstein guy, maybe go to his island, then
couple sunsets, you're on your way.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, and then when you settle down, you forget about all the hookers you banged, and you have some kids, then you fly in for like 2-3 days, you take a monorail, you look at some imprisoned animals.
Take a monorail.
Yeah. You do that and then you leave. That's kind of what it is. But around so, all of that, yeah, around, real Florida.
Mississippi gets a bad rap in the South, I think. I think the South, Arkansas gets, what state gets the worst rap out of all the states?
I think Mississippi does. You know, I thought you were going to agree with me. I think you were like, oh my God, you nailed it. You're just sneezing. I think it's, I don't know shit about it, but just as far as me doing weekends down there, I felt like in Mississippi.
You did stand up. I've never done stand up in Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi was the deepest into the South I'd ever been. Where it was like, you know, you go in the you're in the Capitol, whatever the hell it was. Is it Jackson?
Jackson.
I've done a lot of research. The Confederate flag flying over.
Yeah, they just got rid of the Confederate flag in November.
Yeah, well, you know. There's people, like, it means different things to different people, but you kind of have to, I think you have to address what it means to, you know.
The Magnolias.
I would think you can't be like, well, to me, it just means Southern pride.
There is something really interesting about.
You can't really cut that part out of it out. You know what I mean? You're sort of like cutting out a whole thing, ignoring it.
I know, but here's where the devil's advocate, okay? But like, growing up in Florida, we had no civic pride, right? Like, there was no, like...
What does the word civic mean?
Meaning, you didn't give a fuck about Tampa. Like, you were like, yeah, I live in Tampa, but, like, no one knows that we had the Bucs. They were horrible. We had no baseball team, no hockey team. People's grandparents lived there. So, like, you didn't... Like, if you lived in L.A., you had the Dodgers, you had the Lakers. You were like, we're L.A., you know... NWA. If you lived in Boston had nothing but civic pride. Boston was
threw NWA in there. I was gonna be Hollywood actresses.
Yeah, but like
the Dodgers, the Lakers, NWA.
I was jealous when I first moved to New York and people would like, yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, and the room would go nuts, or they go, so I grew up in the Bronx, and everyone was like, yeah, Bronx. Boogie Bronx, downtown Boogie Bronx, whatever. And then you'd go to, like, I remember performing at Faneuil Hall, and and people would say where they were from. Like, you'd hear the guy go, I'm grew up in Southie or whatever, and everyone's like, oh, like, we didn't have that in Tampa. You couldn't be like, so I grew up in Brandon, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's right outside. Like,
yeah.
And so, but
Ybor City.
I grew up in Ybor City. But somewhere like Mississippi, and it's interesting because their civic pride is tied to the Civil War somehow, meaning like they remember the good old day. My great great granddaddy, you know, like it's an interesting kind of like civic pride.
It's just people look out their own heads, dude. So their experience was the North was fucking them over.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to leave. They fought and they lost. So fuck the North. That's what that, and they completely ignore. It's like how some of the most progressive people out there are still walking around wearing clothes that were made in a sweatshop by some crying kid. And they're standing there like, you know, he, she, or him, her, whatever the fuck you're supposed to write on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's he, she.
It's definitely not he, she. I think that's
the hate. I'm trying to keep up with the kids here. I can't. So they're so like, and women are beaten every day. And I always every once in a while just picture the person that sewed together whatever dress that they were fucking wearing, just watching it and just seeing the irony of this person who feels like, I am a really good, caring person. So I think a lot of stuff that people do, just sort of the average offensive shit, they're not even doing it on purpose. They're just doing it out of like, it's like the world begins right here where I am. And my problem is in that direction. And that's what I'm looking at. And I don't see any of this. So a lot of it, which is why, like when people judge people on the internet, where it's just, I mean, oh, he's in the Klan. Oh, this person does this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, there's a whole spectrum of
yeah.
There's like full on, like, yeah, I'm flying the Confederate flag because, you know, I fuck this shit and white power and all of that, all the way to like somebody just looking out their own fucking white head and seeing what white Northerners did to white Southerners. And that's what it means to them. So it's a, you know, it's one of those things where you're not going to, you know, that's its own mini pandemic as far as there's going to be people with 50 million different theories and, you know, shit that makes sense to you will make absolutely no sense to somebody else. And it's why we're doomed, Bert.
Did you see them go after Kylie Jenner the other day?
I don't know who they are, and I don't know who Kylie Jenner is. Obviously part of the Kardashian clan.
Yeah, Kylie Jenner is...
With the C people. Not with the K. Sorry.
She, I guess, had worn fur at one point, and these animal rights activists attacked her. I guess she was shopping somewhere, and one of the people that works at that place.
Wait a minute. Somebody in the Kardashian. I didn't think they had to shop anymore.
Yeah.
I thought they just sent them the shit. Sorry.
I guess they're throwback people. They like to go walk around the store every now and then.
Oh yeah, slum it.
And so, yeah, why wouldn't you just want all the shit sent to your house in a pandemic? Why wouldn't you just be like, hey, can you just send over like a truck and we'll go through the truck and then we'll send the truck home with the shit we don't want?
Yeah, and if you're in like the Kardashians or Jenners, you're like in the Kennedy family of like fashion. Can't you just say, hey, I saw that bag. I'd like to wear it and take a picture of it on Instagram and you'll sell 10 billion of them. How does that sound?
Dude.
Or she could go to the store and run into a bunch of animals like you and me.
Pivot, a distracting pivot from this story is, I watched a documentary on Macho Camacho, Hector. Oh, wow. Macho Camacho.
Yeah.
And there is he's passed away. I'm not mocking a dead man. But there is a very heartwarming moment where he starts to pop, right? He starts to really get his momentum. And he has, I wish I could show you representation. He has designed outfits that he would like to start wearing, but he's done it with crayons and scissors. So he's like drawn it and then cut it out and he's showing it to people like, so what do you think of this? And you're like, I mean, it was so heartwarming. Cause you're like, he's got the confidence he always needed in his life to get out of his comfort zone and go, you know what, man, I'm an amazing boxer, but I'm also a designer. And I want to show you some of my designs, but he's done it with crayons. And you're just like, oh my God. Like your heart breaks for that guy going like, fuck. I mean, Bill, it's almost like if I said, hey, design an outfit for yourself to wear to the Emmys. And you went, okay. And you did it yourself with crayons and scissors and then cut out your feet. And then you like put it up to your head. You're like, what do you think about this? I mean, it was, anyway.
I would love to say that I wouldn't do something along the lines of that, but what would you do? I would have a piece of paper. Would you make a vision board, Bert? Let's talk about she went to the mall and they attacked her.
Hold, okay. Will you please Google Hector Macho Camacho fashion designs and see if you can find the cutouts he made. It is precious. Anyway, so they attack her and it's what you said is they go after her and they are calling her an animal and a monster and they're trying to block her car, but they've got their iPhones, which was made in a sweatshop by a child. Right, they've got megaphones that were made in China by some poor woman making a penny every hour, and that they're oblivious to all of the hurt they're bringing on to people. Their focus is the animal and Kylie, so their righteousness is kind of an ignorant righteousness, if that makes sense.
No, that's why you can't be preachy. On a podcast or you know, I'm sure I've been guilty of that. Again, I'm getting a lot of comments right now. I try not to be. How about that? I'm a human being. I fail a lot, all right? You try not to be because you can't live up to it.
No.
You can't live up to it. There's no, like, I remember when I first was reading about sweatshop labor, I went on the internet and I tried to find clothes that were not made in a sweatshop. And there were these clothes called, it was called No Sweat. Was the company line. I don't know if they're still around. And I looked at those clothes and I was like, if I wear those down to the Comedy Cellar, I might have to retire. Patrice, Kev, Keith, all of them, Voss, Norton, they're going to destroy me so bad. And I chose my own. I chose myself. And I was like, to heck with those people that have to work there. I don't want to go down to the Comedy Cellar wearing these clothes and take a trashing. So she wore fur. I mean,
she wore fur, but you know, it's like, it so did Cameron and so did guys, people
are don't out these other people. Then they're going to have these assholes.
I'm sure you could find it. By the way, Cameron probably is like, yeah, actually I didn't wear fur. I'm just guessing.
Do you remember that Pink Panther? Do you remember that with Peter Sellers? And that one movie where that woman, that hot chick, was just walking around with nothing but a fur and high heels on. Oh, my God. I don't know why I just thought of that. Fur used to be the shit.
By the way,
fur used to be the shit.
Who was telling the story? Oh, my dad was telling a story of he had a buddy who wore fur. The guy's passed away. He had my dad had a rich buddy. I won't say the guy's name, but, and the guy said, you know, he was a pilot back in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And so he could fly. And he says to my dad, why don't we take a group up to New Hampshire? One of those like little sea towns, like a nice little sea town. But it was also what the beauty of it is it had been gentrified. But there was still the segment that was a fishing town. It still was a fishing town. So you had legit Mark Wahlberg, George Clooney, and those guys coming in from the sea. And he said, you know, there's a great bar that the locals hang out at. Al, you want to go down and get like, go get a cocktail? And my dad, through and through, he would never claim it. He's a blue collar guy. His dad was blue. He is. That's how he identifies. He wouldn't say it out loud. His brain doesn't work to find value in preaching that. But he is a blue collar guy. he goes and meets the guy downstairs, and the guy is in a mink vest
Oh,
my
no.
Dad goes, my dad's like, I don't know where he's taking me. And they walk right to the ocean and go to this dive bar that only fishermen are at. And they sit down and the lady goes, what can I get you guys? And my dad goes, whiskey, neat. And she goes, great. Looks at him, says, what can I get you? And he goes, okay, can you make a graham cracker martini?
No, he didn't. Oh, God.
I swear to God. And she goes, I'm not really sure I can. And he goes, if I pull it up and show you the ingredients, can you see if you have them make one? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, and I hope this isn't too much trouble. You don't have an umbrella to put in it. We're on vacation. My dad.
Oh, my God.
My dad said he sucked down this drink so fucking quick. He was just, go, 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 go. And he was like, let's get out of here. And he goes, she really kills this graham cracker martini. How about one more? My dad goes, oh, fuck.
Oh, my God, dude. I got so uncomfortable listening to all of that. Oh. I would have ran out of there. I would have canceled his order. Would have just been like, sorry, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better. Just get him a Budweiser and a Jameson or something.
So do you want to hear something amazing, Bill? I thought about you all Christmas morning. All Christmas.
Thought about you too, Bert.
So my wife listened to our podcast.
Oh, no.
Yep. And she said to me, I got you a present, and I just wanted to let you know I've been listening to Bill Burt. And I went, I don't think I'm super kind to you on Bill Burt. She goes, well, I didn't catch any of that, but I think you're going to like your Christmas present. First thing she got me, I wish I had it with me. I almost wish I had it with me because I couldn't understand what it was. It was, it looked like it was a silver thing, a gold thing, and it had like four little sticks coming up out of the thing. And I go, I don't know what the fuck this is. And she goes, keep opening. So I open up another thing, and it's a crystal glass, like a nice highball crystal glass. And I go, okay. And she goes, keep opening. I open up another thing, and it's a little glass spoon, like a crystal glass spoon in a crystal glass jar. She goes, keep opening. I open it, and it's a crystal cigar holder. And I said, what is this? And she goes, on January 24th, you will wake up like Winston Churchill. These are everything that he had on his tray.
No way!
I'll serve you breakfast in bed. You can have a cigar and a whiskey and really enjoy yourself the way Winston Churchill did. Bill, I froze. I started tearing up. And I went, you listen to me. Like, you... Oh my! And she goes, "Did I do good? Did I do good?" And I was like,
"You crushed it!
You crushed it! This is," and she goes, "I've got some more things coming. They couldn't get there in time, but this is the base of it."
Oh my God!
We got you a nice tray, and the girls were there. They're like, "So January 24th, we're gonna wake you up, and everything's gonna be done really nice." And that thing was so you could put your toast in it, and your toast could stand up, like the little first thing she gave me. And I'm like, "Oh my!" I'm like, I go, what? She goes, well, I heard you and Bill talking about it. And I know the way you guys were talking about it made it sound so romantic. And I know you get your hat, you hang your hat on that idea of it. So me and the girls went and watched The Darkest Hour. And we took a picture of everything on his tray. And we just went and bought it. And I went,
that's amazing.
My Bill, I was fucking
that's not, if. So if there's any women listening here, if you can figure out what your man's Winston Churchill breakfast is, because, you know, a lot of people aren't into whatever we're into. Dude, that's the little effort thing. I mean, what's going to do for your relationship for a good 6 weeks? Just first of all, the anticipation of it.
Oh.
And then at least like, it's for the next month. She did that. So you know that she loves you.
Yeah.
That's
it. She loves me for who I am. I got on my phone.
Then you're going to do it.
I got on my phone. I'm sitting there still on my phone. And I'm like, going to take a picture and send it to you. Then I'm going to FaceTime you. And she goes, hey, what do you, like, we want more. And I go, no, I want to call Bill. And she goes, fucking tell Bill Lehner, we got that for you.
Yeah.
How about, and I was like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. I was like, my first instinct was to call you and go, Bill, look what I got. You're never going to fucking believe this.
You call me like you're at the sports book and you just hit your three team tees trying to call. Yeah, on Christmas Day. That's fucking awesome, man.
Oh, I was so floored. I kept looking at her. I was
Wait, what? Do you get to smoke the cigar inside?
In bed, Bill. I get to smoke a cigar.
What?
In bed. In bed. I can't.
I'd be like, if I was doing that, I would be like, this is like, I died or something.
Yeah.
And I did good enough that I didn't go to hell, but not good enough that I get to see all my friends. But if this is what it is, and I got a TV, I can do this. Because I can smoke and I'm not going to die of cancer now. I'm already dead. This is fucking great.
Dude, I was so fucking floored. I was like, I couldn't say anything. Like, I kept going like, and then all through the day, I go, you fucking killed it. You killed it. Like, you killed it. Like, and then Isla, I mean, and here's the other thing is then like, so then they, that's my reaction to them. Then Isla, I hope she never sees this. I mean, it's just a weird present. She got me acid wash jeans and a ATO sweatshirt, like my fraternity sweatshirt. And she was like, I know you like time travel. So now you can dress like you used to dress in the past. And I'm like, huh?
Dude, were you on This Is My Life? This is like the perfect Christmas.
And then Georgia goes, I know your spirit animal is an owl. Like for whatever reason, I see owls everywhere. And I always go, she goes, that's your totem is an owl. She goes, I got you a pinky ring with an owl on it. And I'm like, that's the greatest. And I go, but I'm not like a pinky ring guy. And she goes, well, you are now because it's a great pinky ring. And
yeah,
I'm
nobody
like,
can challenge it either. Like, yeah. My daughter got me this. She knew that I liked owls. Was I not going to wear it?
And I love owls. I love owls. And so I like walked away and I was like, that's the best Christmas that they could ever. Like, it was just so thoughtful that like I was just sitting there going like, and then I got them a couple axes, a switchblade, some golf clubs. Like my presents didn't hold up compared to theirs.
I know. They kind of opened with the closer. Hey, you know what that reminded me of? You ever watch when an owl like protects its young? There's this killer video of the thing. It's young were behind it, and there was some sort of snake or something trying to slither in. And the thing, like, I'm trying to do this, like, put up, like, it's all of its feathers like that and was, like, doing this shit with this fucking scowl on its face. And it looked like it was in some killer movie. And you came around the corner, and this was, like, the head of this badass gang, like in the Warriors or something. And you were about ready to get the fucking ass-kicking of a lifetime. And if you can find that video and post that to our listeners, it was like they were in like an attic or something like that. It might have just been the thing reacting to the camera light. But the way like so many animals, they try to make themselves look bigger.
Yeah.
The way that it went down and put all of its tail feathers, the whole thing, put it up and was like moving its head like that. With the, you know, they just always look like they're pissed off. I was like, these things are the shit.
Dude, my dad goes, he's complaining about my mom. Like Christmas night, we're at my sister's house, and he's complaining about my mom. He goes, "Yeah, the internet's not good for this woman. It's just not. I mean, you know, kids are fine with the internet. People our age should not be on the internet." And he was like, "You know, I sometimes I look at her and I go, I don't know who I married." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Some of the videos she watches." He goes, "I walked in the other day. She's been on her phone. I don't know what she's watching. She's been on her phone for like 30 minutes. She's watching jigger removal videos." I go, "What's jigger removal videos?" And he goes, "It's these worms that grow in African kids' feet, and they've got to pull them out with a knife." And I go, and so immediately me and my sisters Google jigger removal, and it is fucking fascinating. It's like all of a sudden me and my sisters are like, oh my God. And it's, There's a word, it's called tryptomorphia or tryptophobia, I think it's called, where you get you're averse to looking at a gathering of small holes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's called tryptophobia. I think it's what it's called.
Gathering of small. So if you saw somebody's pores, you'd be.
Yeah, kind of actually. Is
that a good kisser? I get in close to your face and I can see the pores and it freaks me out.
Is it tryptophobia? And
your mouth is a big hole.
Do you have a picture of it, Andrew? So now some people are hardcore adverse to this. If they see this picture, it freaks them out. Like stuff like that.
It's like a sponge.
Yeah. No, but it's the hole gathering. Well, this fucking jigger removal. And by the way, I am the opposite. Tryptophobia.
What is it grosses them out, or they feel like, what if I was walking there and I fell in it?
No, they have a phobia. They see it and they just go, oh God, oh fucking God, oh God, oh God.
Oh God, can we please pull those up?
By the way, have you pulled the one up of the woman's nipple? Have you seen that one, Andrew?
No.
Tryptophobia, woman's nipple. It's a Photoshop someone did. And it was like the biggest thing on Facebook, where it would show up in everyone's corner. And they're like, do you have this? And everyone's like, I fucking hope I don't. But this jigger.
What, tryptophobia or a nipple with a bunch of holes in it?
Do you see tryptophobia nipple, Andrew?
I'm looking.
So anyway, this jigger removal, it ultimately triggers that tryptophobia. So some people can watch it and go, holy fucking shit, and like freak out. And some people like me, I love it. And so all of a sudden, and my mom, for whatever reason, when you see a gathering of, oh, you see that nipple one? I saw the look on your face. It's aggressive.
Hold on, let me share my screen.
And it's just, I mean, I see it and it makes it, for whatever reason, it calms me down. Like makes me like.
All right, everybody, it's Hims. Hey, is that hairline slowly starting to move backward? Any bald spots yet? The worst for me is I had it in the back. That's your friends know you're going before you do. It's time to write a new chapter, one in which you have hair. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best versions of themselves with licensed medical providers and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier to have online than in person. Love. No more awkward in-person visits to the doctor or long pharmacy lines. For Hims, connects you with licensed medical professionals online, which could save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. Yeah, so basically, if your dick doesn't work, you can just send a text. Instead of having to sit there staring at the floor. Answer a few quick questions. A medical professional will review, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medications to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Today, Hims is giving you their best offer yet. If you're not happy with your results after 90 days, Hims will give you a full refund. And right now, our listeners, can get their first visit absolutely free. Go to forhims.com/Bill Burt. That's for Hims, forhims.com/Bill Burt, BERT. Prescription products require an online consultation with the healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Remember, that's for hims.com/Bill Burt.
Good job, Bill.
That was all right.
You did a great job. Listen up, fellas. 2020 sucked. It's New Year's and new balls with our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in below-the-belt grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, helping 2 million men all the world over get rid of hair on your balls. Bill, I swear to God, I was having a sexual moment with my wife the other night. She said, I wish they made something for just trimming your pubic hair. And I went, I swear to God, I did this read naked with my wife. And I said, that's so interesting, Leanne. You should talk to Manscaped. They're the best on the below-the-belt grooming. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. You should check out their lawnmower 3.0. If you let yourself, I swear to God, I was like, this should be a fucking commercial. Hims, if you want me to shoot that commercial, I will. If you let yourself go in 2020 while in quarantine, like my wife, Manscaped is here to help you reboot and stay clean and shaved for 2021. I'm telling you, I will shoot that commercial, Manscaped. Manscaped is here to give you a fresh start in 2021 with their perfect package 3.0 that has all the right tools for the job. Come out of quarantine with clean balls or lowers for anyone. These clippers work for anyone, to be honest with you. With the Lawnmower 3.0, this is waterproof. My wife asked, Bill, I swear to God, goes, is it waterproof? Because the only time I remember to do this would be in the shower. I said, it is waterproof. And with the SkinSafe trimmer, you reduce nicks to your best friends down there. The third generation trimmer even has a light, and I told her about the light to help you glow up what you need to glow up in 2021. It's also time to freshen up down there with the Crop Preserver. This anti-chafing ball deodorant moisturizer is absolutely fantastic. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And for on the
go, right behind the sack.
For on the go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. 2020 was fucking awful. So make sure your boys are refreshed and ready for new beginnings in 2021. Manscaped even threw in their shed travel bag to keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Speaking of comfort, the Manscaped anti-chafing boxer briefs are also included in our hands down the best underwear you will ever wear. Guys with hairy balls, it's like 2020. Don't be that guy. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/Bill Burt. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com/Bill Burt. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com/Bill Burt. Happy New Year's to your balls.
Hey, I wanna pitch behind the sack to VH1. See if they buy it.
Behind the sack.
Okay. Zendesk, everybody. Customers, okay, talk about any customer service horror stories you've experienced, like being transferred from one customer support agent to the next for what feels like hours. How about the fact that you can't even talk to a friggin' person anymore? How hostile that is. We went from the customer's always right to fuck the customer. Well, customer service is everywhere. Buying stuff online, calling your bank, using an app to get a ride to the airport. But even great teams sometimes struggle to make their customers feel taken care of. Zendesk's award-winning support, sales, and customer engagement software helps businesses offer personal service at scale so your team can create conversational experiences that keep customers happy. Zendesk gives businesses everything they need to stay connected with customers, communicate seamlessly across all channels, email, phone, chat, messenger, community forum, help center, or social media. Zendesk calls that a conversational experience, connected, ongoing, and natural customer interactions. It would be great if customer service made a comeback. All made possible with Zendesk's complete customer profile and unified set of tools that give you the context you need to deliver great service in every conversation. Most support software requires expensive consults and months of setup, but with Zendesk, it just takes hours to get up and running. On top of being quick to implement, Zendesk software easily scales to meet changing needs. Zendesk gives organizations the flexibility to move quickly, focus on innovation, and adapt to growth. And with over 150,000 paid customer accounts and over a decade of experience, they've gotten pretty good at customer service themselves. See for yourself why the best customer service experience are built with Zendesk. Get started at Zendesk.com/Bill Burt. That's Zendesk.com/Bill Burt.
Relax. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So people.
I mean, it just looks like something you'd see in coral reef or something. There's a honeycomb.
I think one of the ones you just pulled up was fucking jigger removal. Yeah, the nipple one was one that would pop up on ads. This is the image of
started. Yeah, that does absolutely nothing positive or negative.
Oh, I get so excited. I see that and I want it to happen to my finger. I want to have holes all over it. I'd fucking stare at it all day long and I'd fucking fill it with hydrogen peroxide. Oh God. But these fucking
Well, maybe you ever think that maybe you should have been like a dermatologist?
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? I can't. I think there's so much shit I could have done that I just didn't know would have like been like an itching that inner.
Can I get that? Oh my God! As a ringtone. That was one of the greatest. Oh my God! Oh my God! Jesus Christ, Bert!
Oh, I would have.
Comedy's just a hobby for you, and you're this good at it.
Have you ever
really wanted to be a dermatologist? He's like the fucking Carlin, a dermatologist, and we got him out here telling fucking shit jokes at drive-ins.
Have you ever seen Dr. Pimple Popper?
My wife would watch that.
Oh, when she gets a dilated pore, I get so my daughter and I text back and forth pictures of dilated pore removals, like consistently.
Okay.
I can't.
It's important to have a strong bond with your daughter.
My daughter, I walked in one time. She goes, she's on the computer and hits pause. And I go, what are you doing? And she goes, okay. Have you ever Googled fat people falling? And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I have.
I have too. And I was like.
Every way that you can fall and fail, I think I've watched. Like, it gets like really specific. They'll have like mailman failures. Or just like, I can't remember like what exactly it was, but like, I just started thinking like, I was on there and I just, you know, because I went down the rabbit hole, I was trying to think, what else do people do that they could fuck up? I'll tell you, the ones that really are hard to watch are those fucking kids that do that shit where they leap off a building, do a front flip and try to land on a garage. And then do a backflip off of it, dude. I gotta tell you, it takes a lot to break your fucking neck. Some of these X Game kids and shit, the way that they fall, or like people just doing backflips and they just kind of go up in the air. They like literally leap up in the air. They're like 5.5, 6 feet off the ground. They bring their feet around and just go straight down with all their body weight. And it's just like, how do you get up after that? And they come right down like BB on the Buffalo Bills at one time. We just bounced right on his fucking head. Like, there's got to be some sort of compression, but I just can't believe they can even walk after some of the stuff they do. And like skateboard fails those fucking kids. And it's got to be a thing. You just can't wear pads. You can't wear a cup. Mm-mm. Dude, these fucking kids just coming in, you know, like 90 stairs and they just go off the top. And come down and their skateboard disintegrates and their legs, their knees or something blow out. It's just like those things are, it's weird. Like what I'll do is I can't watch them, but I have them on. I just put my hand over the video. Like there was one time it was like, if the dictionary, which I'm sure at some point will become like on the internet, as far as like, instead of definitions, they'll just have videos.
Yeah.
For agony. There was this guy. I remember this was on the Opie and Anthony show a long time ago. They played it. This guy was doing that thing where you got the spikes inside your on the inside of your like legs climbing up a tree. You know those things?
Yeah.
He went up there and he had his cinched with the belt and he was cutting down some stuff, dude. And he went straight down and shattered his legs. And dude, the agony. It was this ear-piercing scream, and it was after like the third ears piercing scream that was agony. When I can't even do it. It's just just like fucking It was like the most pain you could endure without passing out. It's like, what is it when I saw that, because you hear like those fucking lunatics when they torture people, they'll shoot you with adrenaline after you pass out so you wake up and continue the agony. Dude, human beings are fucking horrible. And I would just watch that. Oh. And to know that guy didn't pass out from that, I'm like, what in the fuck are they doing to other people? Here it is. This? Look at that thing. It like bends down so you see the back tail feather comes up too.
God damn.
He's just like, I'm going to fuck you up. You come here.
We hunted with owls in Scotland one time where we, what's it called when you hunt with birds?
Falcon cresting.
I think it's called falconry.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, I think it is. And so, we had a bunch of different birds, but the owl was the baddest. Just big white owl sitting on your arm and you just, you wouldn't even see the fucking rabbit.
Just yes, falconry. That's correct.
Yeah, and it just comes down, boom, boom, kips it up, comes around, takes it back, drops it. It was insane.
So the skill of that hunting is to train a bird of prey to do that.
Dude, they got these things.
It's amazing.
They got these things down so good. Well, I mean, I've done it a bunch, so it all blends into one. But this guy could take his bird and almost tell him, like, go there, and then come back. And this thing would just, I mean, fly right up. Like, we'd spread out. He'd fly right up to you and dodge right by your face. It was fucking insane.
How did you find out that place? Like, I go to Scotland. I'm like, all right, let's go to a pub.
Oh, yeah. No, that was Travel Channel. Some of the shit we did on Travel Channel.
Oh.
You know, when we did our tour, the few tours through the country, I called up one of my Travel Channel producers and was like, hey, can you produce our tour? Meaning, like, find cool stuff for us to do, send it to us. And I mean, you get there's certain people that are just, especially like reality show producers, they've got a web of stuff that they know is cool. It's the same stuff you see on every Travel Channel show. But she got us one RV park that we parked at that was on a cliff in Amarillo over a lake. And it was so gorgeous. And we just watched thunderstorms roll in off this lake. And I was like, God, I mean, I've seen.
That's amazing.
I've seen some of the coolest stuff. I've done things that
you know what's great about that? That doesn't take up space in your house. It's an experience. That's, yeah. I had a great Christmas because all I got was socks, t-shirts, and a pair of sneakers. And I was just like, I am fucking good.
Yeah.
I don't need anything. I have a fucking million hoodies. You know,
I got this hoodie.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't need any stuff. Christmas is for kids unless you're going Winston Churchill breakfast.
Oh, come on. I mean,
that's like, I feel like I had a better Christmas because you got that.
I was so impressed with that woman. And today is our anniversary. And she's like, oh, dude, you want to hear something fucking hilarious? I wake up and I go, God damn it. Our anniversary is either like today, tomorrow, or the next day. It's right around here. Mm-hmm. And I go and I look at my phone and I can't find it on my camera, right? I can't find it because normally it says you on the new app on the iPhone, you swipe left and it'll go this day 5 years ago. So I'm looking for any celebrate and it's, but they're not coming up. I can't find it. So I'm like, I can't text Leanne and be like, is today our anniversary? That's not romantic. Like the girls are asleep. It's like 7.
You have a photo album from your wedding with the date on it?
No. I mean, that's all back when you took pictures. Like, no, there's no, nothing up there, and we're kind of in the middle of like moving a little bit, so Leanne's taking a lot of the pictures down. So I'm like, fuck. So I put it on Twitter because Leanne doesn't follow Twitter. I go, hey, how would someone figure out what day their anniversary is? And all of a sudden, 100 dudes chime in with how they figured it out, and they're like, okay, go to Facebook. Find your events, find the day that, and so like they're going all through all this thing. Then one day, wow. I just looked up and he goes, hey, Bert, Googled Bert Kreischer's anniversary, found you posted this 10 years ago on Instagram. Your anniversary is today, big guy. I was like, fucking the internet kills it.
It's fucking amazing.
Oh, it was so fucking amazing. I was like, and then I walk in, Bill, I look at Leanne and I go, happy anniversary. She goes, I forgot. And I went, well, I didn't.
That makes me feel better because me and my wife never remember ours.
Never.
Not that we don't remember that. We forget how long we've been together. Like neither one of us, like I think I'm more into like dates and that type of stuff than she is. And I'm like, you know, half-assed. I mean, as you were saying that, I was like, I have to make sure my agent doesn't, you know, there's my daughter's birthday, my son's birthday, my wife's birthday, and our anniversary. Like, I just can't work on those days. And you know what that means, right? Like, the best offer ever. Like, Steven Spielberg just called.
He wants
to give you half of his estate if you do 5 minutes of shit jokes on your anniversary.
Does Nia have a say in how much you toured? Does she ever go like, hey, man, you're – or are you pretty level-headed going like, I can't do that much?
Both. My wife's cool as shit. She'll just be like, you going out again? She'd be like, oh, man. She just does that. And that's enough to give me the little twinge in my heart to be like, ah, I'm bumming around. Okay. I, you know, and then now I got like, my daughter's been getting on me. Like at my cigar smoking days are almost over, you know, or at the very least I'll have to just do it randomly at other people's houses because, you know, I try to sneak one when she's taking a nap every once in a while.
Yeah.
And I have the curtain closed and I tell my wife, you know, keep the curtain closed because I'm on the back porch, right? So she came out and she couldn't find, you know, the Christmas dinner or some sort of ribs or something. She opens up, I can't find the ribs. She goes, oh, wait, I know where they are. And then she just walks away. And she was in such a panic that the Christmas dinner was going to be messed up that she left it open. And then my daughter comes to the window and sees me. And she calls it blowing smoke. She's like, Dad, Dad, why are you blowing smoke? She's holding it up. She's
like that.
She's like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Dad, Dad, I want you to stop. So she's at her grandma's house right now, right? And she called me last night. I call her up. I love when she picks up the phone. She always just, she goes, hey, Dad. I'm so excited, right? I'm like, hey, buddy. You know, and I sing her usually a song from the Jungle Book or whatever. Right now, she like said, I want to be like you. And she's like, so what did you do today when I wasn't? So I told her all the stuff. She goes, what else did you do? And then she goes, did you blow smoke? And I go, no, I didn't. She goes, good. I don't want you to do that anymore. I'm like, oh, man, she's serious. So yeah. I have the cigars that are in my humidor, and I'm not accepting anymore. Someone tried to give me two. I was like, I can't. So I think what I'll do in the future, because I got nothing left, Bert. I got nothing left. Okay? A root beer and a cigar is all I got left.
A root beer. I love fucking root beer.
I love it too. But you can't drink too many because then you ruin it.
that seems to be the rule with everything.
Yeah. No, it is. And there's all these fancy ones, but at the end of the day, child sense memory, there's nothing better than A&W. It's just, it is what it is. So, yeah. So I was actually thinking I got time after this podcast and I'm going to have a quick one. And, but I am, I mean, you know, I got to do, I'm an old dad, so I really got to watch myself. You know, I went to the heart doctor, I got my heart, and then I went to the thing where I got my heart scanned.
You did the CT scan?
Huh?
You did the CT scan?
Yeah.
Did you get your results yet?
I don't know where they sent them. I think it's to my
cardiologist.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll have to ask him, but he also gave me the name of someone who gives you a physical. I'm just going to start going like every 6 months. And like my New Year's resolution is I'm going to have like one salad a day. Like when I do that, it keeps the weight off and also keeps sort of the sugar salt thing under control. But I don't know, that whole like going like, you know, meatless and everything, those people, you really have to know what you're doing. If you just go vegan and all that, like very quickly, you start looking like a prisoner of war. Like you're wearing dirty pajamas, they're hanging off you and shit. I got a friend of mine that did that stuff and I think he's figured it out more, but dude, like he got to the point where like his body was eating itself. He was so gaunt, like you could see like his cheekbones and shit. And I was just like, there was a point in the beginning, it was just like, yeah man, you look great. You look great. And then it's like, whoa, hey. Great, but you have a pork chop there, buddy. Or something is not in. I'm not saying that it's either one is better or worse. It's kind of like what works for you. Because I will say I've never eaten a vegan meal.
You said cook, and this is true. Getting salads prepared and ready in your fridge to go was fucking key.
Dude, I made one yesterday holding my son. Because I had cucumbers, tomatoes, all cut up. And I had chicken that I had already baked, cut up. And then I had already washed all the head of lettuce, and that was all done. So all I had to do was throw all of that in a bowl, little red wine, vinaigrette or whatever, and a little olive oil and a little bit of salt. Shook it up, dumped it in. That was it.
What about a meal delivery service that sends you healthy meals? Could you do that?
No, I can't because it's so much more. They claim that it's less waste than going to the supermarket. Because my thing is, what all then all of these fucking plastic tins, then I just recycle them. You know, they just throw it in the fucking ocean.
Yeah.
But there's the other side that if I go to the grocery store, all that shit is wrapped in paper and plastic and all that crap. And they're unboxing that. But then my thing is like, well, so you still got it. So it's like you went to the grocery store for me, but now you have to have these fucking tins that you put it in. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, I watched something last night on the Travel Channel, speaking of oceans and waste and everything. Or I know it was the E Travel. Dude, it was one of the worst fucking shows I've ever fucking seen. First of all, they kept going, and this is big with celebrities. They'd be like, Leonardo DiCaprio. And it would just be a picture of him. It wasn't him there. It was just some stock Getty image or whatever. And then they just kept cutting. They cut to Ricky Martin three times talking about Mexico, just going like, oh, the food, you know, great people, great food. And they just kept using that thing. Every time they go to Mexico, they would cut to Ricky Martin, like he's been everywhere in Mexico. So, and it was all of those, like the number one thing that I fucking hate to do when I go on vacation, especially if I'm going to a non-white country, is to fly down to the colonial white fucking resort, and you're standing in a bar pool talking to some guy from Cleveland, right? Yeah. The whole thing's fucking white owned, and then they show and they go like in like Tahiti, they go and we have culture night, and like then all the locals come in dancing with fire and all of this bullshit, and it's just like the whole thing is it's just gross. I had that experience when I went to the Dominican Republic, and they just got us in this van and blew by some of the most brutal poverty I've ever seen in my life. And the next thing you know, yeah, we're in like a bar pool and I'm drinking a rum out of a fucking coconut going, what the fuck did I just see? And then they're sitting there, fresh towels and blah, blah, blah. And it was just, the whole thing just seemed bad. So I ended up going off the reservation, going into town one night, and people were looking at me and I was like, oh, this is stupid. Because now I'm going to take the beat down for whatever those fucking people that built the resort did. I need to go back to the resort, you know? Yeah. Some guy who almost wasn't quite Sammy Sosa and didn't make the show, but still can swing for the fences. He just couldn't hit the curveballs. Now going to hit my big fucking melon as I walk down the street. I had to get out of there.
I have been, for the longest time, every time I travel abroad, I work on the same bit of, it disgusts me when we go to like Mexico and you're with all your, like for me, I've been so many times and you're with all your white friends. And then the Mexican dude who lives in Mexico comes up to take your order and everyone goes, oh, hola, ¿cómo está usted? ¿Tú tienes cerveza? And then he's got to be like, sí, con limón. And they're like, oh, con limón. Tú tienes guacamole? And that's always made me fucking crazy. I'm like, I'm not going
to
know.
It's the fucking worst. If you want to do that, I recommend you go to, oh my God, stuff on my screen here. Go to France and just torture them with your French. That's what I do. I refuse. They start speaking English. I will not break character. Because my whole fucking thing with those fucking cunts are, I have to listen to your English. Yeah. I went to the supermarket and I saw the bit, bit, bit. And I don't sit there going like, oh, Jesus, and start speaking his fucking language. But the thing is there's such cunts. I there's something about it. I love them.
Yeah.
And when you go to Paris, like the way that they dress, it's so not us where we're just like, you know, just as much flashy shit as you can have on. Like you can't have enough shit. Like that stupid, one of those Kardashians sitting there with a thong up her ass doing some picture. And she has a wall of those stupid fucking bags that you can't buy. You got to ask them. And they're like, maybe we'll make them. You know, those bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever those fucking things are called. You go to Paris. It's just like, they would be considered vulgar. And you watch them, they go down the street, they got all mute colors on, but nice clothes, and then they'll just be the pocket square or the woman or shoes or her bag. There's one little pop that catches your eye as she's walking through one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And that's me and my wife. We just sit there getting hammered, people watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. I love seeing the old Ray Winston looking guys, even though it's sacrilegious because he's from fucking England or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw him in a steakhouse one time, middle of the day, dressed to the nines, pocket square. So that's what I think. Old school, classy guy. You see those guys where it's, you know, they're still wearing like the tight shirt, you know, with the it's all tucked in and shit. You know what I mean? But because they're dressed dapper, like my wife looks at them and like, and thinks they're cool. It's yeah. when you're like that shape and you're still wearing like cut off sleeves like we do here, sweatpants and your fucking ass crack peeking out.
You gotta give it up. You gotta give it up for the guy that works. Like, there's my heart swells for the guys when you go just off the cruise ship, right? Just to those bars right off the cruise ship in Cozumel or Cancun, and the Mexican guy that just takes one for the fucking team and like. And soft shoes it up, and he's like, and you're like, "Como esta usted?" He's like, "Hey, how you doing? You want a sombrero, huh?" Like, I love that, and then he does all this shit, and he's like, "Oh, tequila, tequila, tequila!" Like, I wish we had an American bar like that, where you
isn't would... that Hooters? There has to be a thing in those countries where there has to be an insult. That's who you're going to be, as opposed to keeping it real and trying to grind it out. And like, I'm not going to go work some tourist fucking place and have some fucking freckled cunt from, you know, from LA, like me, come down there and be like, "Donde está me?" You know,
we should open a bar, Bill, in like Mexico City called America. And you go in and right? So then Mexicans go in, and then I'm like, "What's up, motherfuckers?" And they're like, "Hey," and they're like, "Cheeseburgers for everyone." And they're like, "Ah!" And he's like,
"I don't think that works.
Supersize it."
Don't think it works.
No, and then we just play in. We're like, "Uh oh, here comes Chang. And watch out for this guy." Like, we just add in all our American racism and sexism. Hey, you can smack waitresses on the back of the ass still.
Yeah, I don't know. If you could go down there and somehow, I don't know, I already lost my idea. Yeah, I don't know. Human beings are terrible. The stuff that we do to each other. I saw a fucking thing the other day showing this kid starving in Africa, and the mother crying, and all the kid needs is fucking food. All he needs is food, and it's this stupid charity, and I got to sit there going like, "You fucking pieces of shit. You showed that thing. You're going to keep most of this money, aren't you?"
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yep.
Oh, buddy. Oh, I saw one of those the other day. I saw one of those the other day there, Bert, and it was attached to all these famous women who are all taking salaries.
Oh, I heard about this one.
Yeah, they took salaries, Bert. Who takes a salary from a charity? They took a salary, Bert. Oh, my God, that was big news. Oh, people got canceled, Bert. Oh, careers were nothing. Nothing happened because it was women. Fucking ridiculous. They sit there talking about a double standard because of the stupid stud whore thing. Get the fuck out of here.
Our dog's in heat, and I keep telling my daughters, because our other dog's trying to fuck the dog in heat. And I keep jokingly saying to my daughters, "You know, she's asking for it. Like, it's her fault." And my daughters, they're like, "Stop saying that. I think you fucking believe that." Like,
you are wording it in a way that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Fuck.
I'm happy for you, Bert.
I got to get a good Christmas coming.
I'm really happy for you.
A good
I would like, my wife would do that for me if I asked her. I don't think she wouldn't let me smoke a cigar in our bedroom though, which is a huge ask. I wouldn't do that.
when we first moved in together, me and Leanne, she was running an apartment building, and she had a one bedroom. She had a two bedroom apartment. One of the bedrooms was her office where the computer was. Now, she also had clothes in that office because it had a closet. So she had clothes in that office, but I didn't know that because my clothes were just in the shared closet in the bedroom. And we've been living together maybe 2 weeks, and that's when poker online was big. And so I pour a whiskey. I get on poker. I get like $200 in my account. And I smoke two cigars back to back in that room.
Oh, that's next, awesome.
The next day, he gets in the car. And I fucking go, did you smoke a cigar this morning? She goes, no, but someone smoked two where all my clothes are. And so now all my clothes smell like cigars. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Dude, your wife's a champ. And she stayed with you? She's a champ.
You have no idea what a champ she is. She have no idea what a champ
My relationship's going great right now. Because I got some great advice.
Give it to me.
Great advice. Kevin Bacon said this in an interview. He said, you know, because he's been with his wife for a long time, Kira Sedgwick, right?
Yeah.
And they said, they always say, you know, marriage is a lot of work. And he goes, no, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. You got to make sure you make them laugh. And I've just been doing this thing, trying to make sure, keep it light. And I try to make a laugh every day. And just doing that alone, even if I don't get the laugh, because I bomb a lot, Bert. Even if I don't get the laugh, the effort, there's a lightness, because I'm a cunt, you know? I'm not going to lie to you. I am a moody fucking person. And, I fucking snapped in this bathroom. Thank God I was downstairs. I have such a fucking issue with designed obsolescence, where they build something so it works long enough that you can't take it back, but it's designed to fucking fail, so you have to throw it out and get another one. That should be illegal. With what's going on in the environment, should be illegal. So one of the big fucking things is we have, what do you call that little brush there that you use for the toilet?
Like a little, to scrape the shit off the back of the toilet?
Exactly. What do you call that thing?
Toilet brush.
All right. Toilet brush. Sorry. I feel like I'm on Family Feud and I'm the dumbest member. So I went to use one of those. I was cleaning the bathrooms because, the people who clean our house are sick. They're not feeling good. So we're like, yeah, stay away, right? Stay away, whatever. We'll handle it. So I vacuumed the whole house and I'm doing the bathrooms. I got this weird thing, dude. I fucking love cleaning. I actually really enjoy vacuuming and cleaning up and shit. I don't know why. It's fucking weird. I'm into it. Doing dishes and shit. I like doing it. So I'm cleaning the bathrooms. I'm having a good time. And this fucking thing, the handle comes off. And I see that it's machined where it just screws back on and it won't fucking go back on. And I keep thinking I got it back on and I can't get it to catch. And it fucking falls. And it goes into the fucking toilet, right? And I caught it right before it went into the water. And then I go to do it again. And I had it all together. And right as I set it back down the thing, it just, right as it touched the bottom, it went like that, wiggled, hit the side of the bowl, and went into the water. And I, as loud as you could yell, I just go, fuck! And dude, if that was in a movie, and that was a comedy bit, if you saw me sitting there, it was like I Love Lucy with the chocolate things, except me with this shit scrubber.
Yeah.
I fucking want. Thank God I'm downstairs, you know, and I'm in the bathroom and the door was closed and nobody heard it. And I think my wife was, you know, all the way upstairs, so she didn't fucking hear it. And but like I do stuff like that all the fucking time. I lose my shit about inanimate objects and stuff. So I definitely have to keep it light. I think that was the purpose of the story. I just relived the anger that so much I can't remember what I was talking about. But I do remember you got a cigar.
Oh, I said to my dad, he goes, we're smoking a cigar, and he goes, You gotta cut back on these, buddy. And I said, I think I'm done. After this, I go, I smoke them with you. I go, I think Bill and I are going to try to get together and have a socially distanced cigar before New Year's. And he goes, when are we doing that? And I go, what thing is just me and Bill? He goes, the old man can't come? I go, I don't think so, Dad. And he goes, why? I go, because you just became a big fan of Bill's and I don't want to sit and watch that. He goes, hey, I can play it cool. I go, the fact that you said you can play it cool means you can't play it cool. He goes, hold on one second. I'm your fucking dad. And if I want to hang out with you and your friends, I can hang out with you and your friends. I go, I'll run that by Bill, Dad.
Your dad seems cool.
I go, Dad, you can't get there and go, hey, the time you told the story on, I go, we can't do that about bits. We can't, you can just hang out.
Sure, you know me. He'll be over me in 3 minutes and I'll just be another one of your jerk off friends. We'll have a great time. He's going to zoom in or he's out here.
He's out here. He's out. We took him out in the tour bus. And so
we got to hang.
Yeah. I told him, I said, we're doing COVID tests every fucking day now. I'm done with this goddamn virus. I'm done. Done. And by the way, when the vaccine comes out, I'm getting it. I don't give a fuck if it gives me a tail, bigger ears, the government can track me. I don't give a fuck.
Speaking of that, tail and bigger ears and shit, I watched Pinocchio with my daughter. She did not like that movie.
Wait, the new one?
No, the original one.
Oh, the new one's scary as fucking shit.
Dude, the old one, they're just reprimanding boys the whole fucking time. If you lie, your nose is going to grow. I forget what the fuck they did. They started turning into, she was just going like.
Donkey boys.
Yeah, she was just going like, I didn't, yeah, she's really like good communicating. She's like, Dad, this movie's scaring me. I don't like this. Why is this no girl? Why he has ears? You like that? And she look at me going, you like that? I don't like that. It's like, hey, dude, I don't need to watch this either.
My daughter bought the movie. She goes, hey, let's watch a movie. I said, okay. And she goes, you want to watch Ready or Not? And I go, what's that? And she goes, it's like a comedy. And I go, okay. And the whole premise of the movie is, it's an amazing movie. It's a great movie, but it's not like a relaxing movie that you watch with your daughters. A woman marries into a gaming mogul's family, right? And they get married, and the first night after they marry, she has to play a game with them, and the game they play is hide and seek, and they have to murder her before dawn, and she's got to try not to get murdered. And it is,
well, if she doesn't get murdered, then she can marry into the family
if she can survive. They need to murder her before dawn or they die. Like that's what they believe. And so it is just a horrific fucking suspense. It's a great movie, but it's suspense. And I don't like suspense. I don't like people hiding. I said to Isla, why wouldn't we just watch a comedy? She goes, this doesn't get you excited. And I go, I don't know if I like this. Like, I don't think I care to like this. Like, I like,
you know, I get through those movies. I root for the bad guy. I just sit there going, kill this motherfucker. I'm so sick of giving a shit about this stupid fuck who went into this place to begin with. That's what I do because I get so fucking frustrated. You know, do you hear the monster in the house? You got a kid. It's the old Richard Pryor bit. Leave. Hello. Goodbye. Out. I'm done. Hey, I saw a good movie. An old French movie from 1955. Les Diaboliques. I saw it on the Criterion Channel, which is like smart Netflix.
Les Diaboliques.
Yeah. Diaboliques. Don't watch the 1996 one. Q-U-E-S.
I got it.
Yeah. Watch that one. Really interesting twist and all that type of stuff. It's just really interesting movie, and I guess it was a precursor to some Hitchcock movies and stuff, because I've been trying to, like, dude, I'm learning French. I'm getting this shit down because I want to go over there and I want to act like a dumb American and just listen to the shit that they say. Plus, I always want to learn another language, and I flunked it in high school. So did I lose you, Bert?
I'm telling you this, I think it's either French or Spanish. The bad. And by the way, I would say a connoisseur of time travel movies. I watched Tenet 5 times. Okay. I watched it 5 fucking times. Tenet is amazing. Amazing.
What is Tenet?
Tenet's a new movie by Christopher Nolan. It's got, I think if I'm not mistaken, and I hope I heard this right, but it's got Denzel Washington's son plays the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a world where, and I don't
in a think world
where I don't think I'm giving anything away, but they have meshed time.
Andrew's blocking his ears. Go ahead.
Your ears?
Yes.
You want, What? Well, I can't hear you say it.
I didn't watch even the trailer, so I'm just.
Oh,
it's so cold. But go for it.
No, I don't want to give anything away, but it's a world where objects can move forward and backwards, and it is fucking amazing. It is it's amazing, but it's amazing because you. I love a movie. Like, I used to hear people, like Leanne would read fucking Jane Eyre's books. She'd read them like 3 times. And she'd be like, I just could read it one more time. And I'd be like, who the fuck reads the same book twice? But I could watch, I watched Tenet. The first night I watched it with my whole family, half the people didn't get it. And the second that they didn't get it, I went, okay, I'm watching this again. And Isla was like, we're definitely watching this again. We watched it the next night and I'd read some articles and I was like, okay, now I've kind of got it. I'm watching it one more time. I watch it the third time and I get it. And I go, now I'm watching it the fourth time and I'm going to enjoy it. And I fucking, there's a movie.
I did that with No Country for Old Men.
Oh, is it a movie like that you can watch over and over again?
No, but everybody was bitching about the ending. Did I even tell you my theory on that movie?
No, please do.
My theory is it was such a funny time to ask you about that. Did I tell you my theory on that thing? Is you're drinking that thing? And I'm like, okay, either he doesn't give a shit or that drink is delicious. I feel like Tommy Lee Jones is the main character.
Okay.
Okay, and the theme of that movie is that basically things change. And if you want things to remain the same, you're chasing a ghost. And I feel that Javier Bardem, is that the guy's name? Yeah. Who played, I don't feel he really existed. I feel like he represented the change. And I feel like in Tommy Lee Jones couldn't accept that that's where we've become. And I feel like that's why Javier Bardem's last statement in that movie was, you didn't see me. Like he's like a ghost. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I haven't seen
the movie in a while. Like almost lost it. I almost drove it off the cliff there, but I feel like he wants it. It made sense. Like the world kind of makes sense when you're young.
Yeah.
Because that's the only world you've known. It's when you get older that it stops making sense because it changed. And you're like, well, what's wrong with that? The way it was, why does it have to change? I like this music. I like those clothes. I like this team or whatever. Those uniforms and it just changes and it just, I think part of it, you just realize like, oh wow, I really am that insignificant. Nobody cares. They didn't even care when I liked it. I'm just this fucking jerk off going to malls. That makes any sense. So I remember when a bunch of people saw No Country for Old Men, they were like, oh, stupid. The fucking ending was stupid. That's why I feel like he was able to walk in the end to that room. And the guy's behind the door, it's like he's like haunting him. You know, it's like the past and the future and all of that type of stuff. I just feel like there's a lot of layers. Maybe I watched it too many times.
No. I'm gonna watch it today.
Dude, we should watch that while we smoke a cigar. Unless your dad's there, I'll shoot the shit. But if you wanna just sit down and watch just a fucking killer movie. And Josh Brolin, I'm a huge fan of his. And then his dad, I watched this movie called The Car the other day. And his dad, like, it's just like, they don't make guys like that anymore.
They don't. They really
They used
don't.
To be like, movie stars, actors used to be the guy you wanted to be. And then somewhere as I was growing up, they became oiled up with abs. And then after that, it was the man bun era.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what it is, but it's just like
they've got a handful of good ones. Like Jason Momoa. You know that guy?
Jason Momoa
is a guy I want to be. Like that guy is.
Who's that? The Aquaman guy?
Aquaman. And this
yes.
guy.
And
this
Aquaman guy. Was the shit because they made him kind of like a booze bag.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not fucking going to watch Aquaman. Jesus Christ. What is he going to fight a fucking shark? It just was a bad idea for a superhero. And then I was on a plane and I couldn't leave. I was like, you know, I'm going to give this a shot because this guy looks cool, right?
Yeah.
And I watched it and I ended up loving it. But like, I feel like so many movies now, the big thing is like they have like a cartoon version of the toxic man that women have been complaining about for all these years, and men didn't listen and that type of thing. And then if a guy does anything like manly, he almost has to like, even if he's the character's a good guy, if he does anything manly, he almost has to like apologize for it. It's a really sort of weird, I don't know, everybody trying to be woke, whatever the fuck that even means now. And I also think it's great too, that progressive people, that's something else that was white people took from black people was the word woke. And they think they're all like, yeah, I'm woke signaling. It's just like, nah, you did it again. You did it again. You're still part of the problem. All right, listen, we should probably wrap this up because I got a little bit of football here to watch.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We did over an hour, right?
Oh, yeah.
I was watching the Jets and Browns. Jesus Christ, talk about two teams that love to torture their fan base. All the Browns have to do is win the game, and they're in the playoffs. All the Jets have to do is lose, and they're going to have one of the top three picks. So what happens? The Jets are kicking the shit out of the Browns. Maybe came back. I don't know.
What was your tweet last week? Hey, Jets, 1-15 is still nothing to brag about.
No, 1-15 is great. No one remembers 1-15. You're off the hook.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I misread that tweet.
No. I don't wish 0-16 on any team in the league, no matter how much, the Jets have been a rival of ours my whole life. They've been the same division, but I don't want to see you go 0-16. Nobody remembers. Bunch of people have gone 1-15. Nobody can name the teams. You don't remember, but 0-16, they're like the Browns, the Lions, the Buccaneers went 0-14.
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember. So, all right, let's wrap up here. Bert, I'm so happy for you and your amazing Christmas. January 24th, I will be thinking about you. Going, he's probably waking up right now.
I can't fucking wait.
That's awesome. All right, this has been another episode of the Bill
Bert
Podcast.